Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
WWBD.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A lot of people on Wall Street and elsewhere are wondering, what will Bernanke do? Today, the Fed chairman gives a speech on the economy and the markets and interest rates, so we could get some hints. Yesterday, Goldman Sachs gave its predictions for what Bernanke might do and what 2008 has in store. Number one, recession. Number two, the Fed will cut interest rates almost 2% to spark the economy. That would be fairly aggressive. Too much cutting could trigger inflation. And recession plus inflation equals something truly ugly, stagflation. Let's bring in our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Chris, how bold can the Fed be?
I think the Fed can go far. Now, yes, you can make a very convincing case that inflation is a worry. But here's what troubles me. There are a lot of mortgages going bad. And it's not just mortgages. Credit card defaults are up. Auto loan defaults are up. A number of the big private equity bank deals have fallen apart. And in that kind of environment where debt is going bad, where the prices in the housing market are falling, that's not an inflationary environment.
Well, Chris, is there any historical situation that we can look back upon and learn from?
Boy, we don't have to go very far back in the history books. So we've been talking about stagflation in the 1970s. Well, what about Japan in the 1990s? This, to me, is the real concern. Japan in the 1980s, you had a skyrocketing stock market. You had a strong commercial real estate market. Okay, the asset bubble went bust, and Japan went into a stagnation. And it went into a world of very little lending, very low interest rates, and their economy went nowhere. And what happened is that the Japanese Central Bank, when the bubble burst, was fretting. Oh, inflation. Inflation's a problem. Hey, hello, people. There was debt going bad, and they didn't act fast enough. So what you don't want to have happen is the Fed worrying about inflation while all this debt goes bad.
So in a sentence or two, what's your prediction for what's going to happen with with the Fed this year?
My prediction is that the Fed is going to be aggressive, that Ben Bernanke is a student of debt deflation from the 1930s, and that the Fed made a number of studies of the mistakes the Japanese Central Bank made in the 1990s. They're going to be more aggressive than the market thinks.
All right. Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
In Britain today, the Bank of England left interest rates alone. Investors didn't seem to like that too much. In London, shares are down 0.33% so far. Tokyo saw a drop of 1.5% today. The Dow starts the morning at 12,735. It gained back 146 points yesterday, and the Nasdaq broke an 8-day losing streak. It added 34 points. A lot of victims of Hurricane Katrina have sued the federal government for damages from failed levees and flood walls. Some of the victims are obviously trying to make a statement. We just got the numbers in those lawsuits. About 250 people have asked for $1 billion apiece. One plaintiff sued for $3 quadrillion. How much is that? A stack of just 1 quadrillion pennies would reach Saturn. This is the Morning Report for Thursday, January 10th on Marketplace.org. Several big U.S. banks have gone overseas looking for badly needed cash. They've gotten quite a bit of money from foreign government funds in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Singapore, China. Now it appears the banks need a little more. The Wall Street Journal says Citigroup and Merrill Lynch are in talks to sell another stake. The paper says Citi might be looking for $10 billion. Merrill Lynch wants about $4 billion from a Middle Eastern source. So far, those banks aren't talking about it. But they are trying to talk to you. Several banks have new ad campaigns designed to spark up their image in the wake of the subprime mess. Bank of America is now the bank of opportunity. Citigroup says, let's get it done. And starting this weekend, J.P. Morgan Chase will ask you to chase what matters. More now from Steve Tripoli.
Branding expert Glenn Rifkin says banks are rolling out these ads more to hold customers than add them.
There's a certain amount of fear of losing market share and having customers feel that in uncertain economic times, maybe it's time to rethink where they have their money. And this is a way to say, stick with us because we can show you why we're better than the bank down the street.
But Rifkin, who co-wrote the book Radical Marketing, says he's not sure branding campaigns set banks apart from competitors.
From a position of a brand, I have yet to see any of these banking brands stand out in a way that I think the average consumer would view them.
He says that's because what really draws customers to banks are interest rates, local ATMs, and customer service. So when a bank like J.P. Morgan Chase lays out $70 million for branding, Rifkin says ad watchers often ask, why not just sink that money directly into what customers want? I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Next week, Harrah's Entertainment will spin the roulette wheel. The world's largest casino brand needs a $9 billion loan. It's the first company in 2008 to bet that the frozen credit markets are beginning to thaw. Jill Barchet reports.
Two private equity firms are trying to complete their $18 billion buyout of Harrah's. Chris Donnelly is a vice president at Standard & Poor's LCD. He says Harrah's needs to borrow heavily.
Everyone's watching this deal because it's one of the largest transactions that's going to come to market this year.
Donnelly says casinos are cash cows. Usually investors line up to buy their debt. But now the credit markets are so sick that the usual buyers aren't even coming to the table. Donnelly says Harrah's will have to offer high interest payments and fat fees to get the deal done.
So if this can't get done, then everyone's really going to be worried?
Donnelly says if investors don't buy this casino debt, it will be hard for anyone to acquire any company through a leveraged buyout this year. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Measuring economic growth usually means looking at the total output of goods and services. But the president of France wants to include something new in the calculation. Here's Megan Williams.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy isn't happy with how the French economy is doing. Despite urging the French to love less and work more, growth is down. So he's enlisted two Nobel-winning economists to revamp how economic success is measured, to include a happiness factor. Belgium economist Paul de Grawe says for several decades, France and Europe's per capita GDP has been lagging behind the U.S. by about 30%. That prompted researchers to ask, are Americans, as a result, happier than Europeans?
The happiness people have tried to measure all this and came to the conclusion, no, there is no evidence that the average American is happier than the average European.
While counting happiness is important, says de Grawe, he warns it can be a way out for politicians.
Sometimes it can also be abused to hide failures of economic policy. Maybe that's also part of the story.
As France's economy drags, Sarkozy himself is on cloud nine with his new girlfriend, model Carla Bruni. And France, it seems, isn't happy about that. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
One caucus and one primary down, 48 states to go. Super Tuesday is less than a month away. And you know what that means? The barrage of campaign ads is about to start. This could be a record year. Here in California, we're already getting those TV ads for and against certain propositions. Jeremy Hobson takes a look at the presidential candidates.
In the next month, candidates are competing for states that include 7 of the 10 most expensive TV markets in the country. So where should they buy? I asked Christopher Arterton, who heads the School of Political Management at George Washington University.
They cannot afford to compete in all of these states, and so that's why they're going to triage them into states that they can't win, states that they can't lose, and then the states where money will make a difference.
As a result, he says, it's possible no clear winner will emerge on either side after February 5th. Well, there will be one winner, broadcast TV. But Evan Tracy, who runs the Campaign Media Analysis Group, says candidates won't be flooding the airwaves with ads.
They will use cable. They will use broadcast. But it's going to be by no means any comparison to what Iowa and New Hampshire have seen.
Tracy says campaign strategists who are paid to figure out where to advertise will be earning their paychecks in the coming weeks. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
In honor of political ad season, we've pulled an oldie but a goodie from our spoof collection. Without further ado, here are the Marketplace players.
I'm a mom, and I'm voting yes on Prop 111. Prop 111 provides free candy for every child in our state.
I heart candy.
And the candy won't hurt their teeth, because Prop 111 will fund the development of a high-tech polymer that protects kids' teeth from decay. The polymer also makes kids 200% smarter and wealthier, and it makes them hate illegal drugs. And Prop 111 does all this without raising taxes by floating a series of magic astrological wizard bonds that incur zero debt while generating billions of dollars in revenue. If you believe in unicorns, vote yes on Prop 111.
Paid for by Citizens for Realism and Voting.
Supporters of Prop 111 say it gives candy to children. But thanks to special interest loopholes, Prop 111 will actually seal children in wooden barrels and roll them off the tops of skyscrapers.
Help me!
The plummeting child-stuffed barrels will destroy our roads. 10% of state revenue will go towards repaving the streets and burying the dead. And Prop 111 has provisions for 900 new taxes, including one on the air you breathe. Prop 111 was crafted in a cave full of vampire bats by demons with wings of fire. It hates you. If you are a human being, vote no on 111.
Paid for by Voters United Against Fearmonger.
Thanks to the Marketplace players led by Rico Galliano. I'm Scott Jagow in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.